Well, good morning and welcome to Skycomish Community Church. We are still a word-preaching, people-loving community, and we're still mostly in COVID-19 lockdown, stay-home, stay-healthy orders. We are allowed to have outside church. Apparently, God's providence is that it'll be in the rain this week, so enjoy whatever weather God sends our way. He's always good. The announcements for this week, all gatherings basically continue to be on hold. Vacation Bible School still might happen. We're hoping for August 17th to 20th or 17th to 21st, depending on whether we do a 4 or 5 day VBS. And again, that's all if we can get up to the proper levels and get the planning and everything done appropriately before that happens. The tentative time would be like 10 to 11:30. It would be a shortened time period for each day, and we would anticipate being outdoors a good portion of that time to make sure and stay as healthy as possible. Offerings can still be mailed to Skycomish Community Church, or you can push the donate button on the website and follow the instructions there for a PayPal donation. For planning ahead for the reopening, the rules keep changing, so I don't want to say anything is for sure, but it looks like at this time, the way that the governor and other authorities, health department and whatnot, have set the guidelines, physical indoor church services will be allowed to resume during phase two. With a 25% building capacity allowed. We're in phase 1.5 in King County right now, so working on getting up to that next phase somehow. Based on the International Building Code, occupancy capacity for Skycomish Community Church Sanctuary would be about 141 individuals, assuming 7 square feet per person. That would be awfully crowded. It'd be kind of fun, but not going to happen at this time. Even if we did have 141 people there, we'd have to turn 75% of them away. So 25% of that amount would mean 35 individuals could visit during phase two. And if for any reason we started to go over that amount, we could open the north windows and the door on the ramp side and add 2 or 3 more family units there that could easily participate and listen in. So that's where we stand for reopening planning right now. The prayer spotlight this week is Casey and Hope Holinchik from Bangor, California, Bangor Community Church. They have a 650-person postal-designated area. It's not quite in the town of Bangor, California. It's nestled in the Butte Mountain foothills. There are no stoplights, but they have a post office, a fire department, a 100-child K-8 school, a feed store, and a corner store. They're famous for the Mennonite bakery and for fires. Their tiny but mighty church, after a time of subsisting, is really branching out and reaching the community with Christ's love, meeting the many needs of the people due to fires, loss, and other small-town issues. Pray for their growing relationship with the school kids and with teachers, Vacation Bible School this summer, and other possible children's outreach. They've got a CDI class going. That's a Contenders Discipleship Initiative. Those are basically online classes that are done through Village Missions. It's an online free seminary, so if anybody's interested in that, check it out. CDI classes are growing as well, and they're encouraged by how many individuals generally want to study the Bible, and especially women. There are not many community events to meet people in an organic, easy way, so we often try to strike up conversations wherever we can. Please pray for more places and opportunities to get to know those that the Holinchiks haven't met yet. They're encouraged that after being there just 2 years, the people are seeing that they care and that they're here to stay. And they're even calling Casey more often rather than Hey You or Pastor or whatever. They love their community, and they'd like all of the people that read about this or hear about them to go visit and get a fruit turnover at the bakery. And now we're coming to the time where we're going to just open our hearts for a time of hearing from God through His Word. We're continuing in the book of Ephesians. It's been, I think, 19 months or so since I started this series on Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5 and verse 13 today. And I'm going to open in prayer. Father, You are so good. You're such a good, good God, and we're so grateful that You are willing to shine Your light in this dark and broken world. Keep on showing Your love and help us to recognize it when You do. I pray that we will be people with thankful hearts and grateful spirits, and help us to renew the spirit of our minds so we truly can put on the new self, put on the light that's going to shine in this dark world. Thanks, Jesus, for Your Word. Amen. Well, Ephesians 5:13, are you reflecting the light? The text is, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. When I first looked at this text, I wasn't sure if I wanted to add two or three more verses to it, because everything around it, before it and after it, seems to be the same topic. And if I were doing a typical series in Ephesians, I would have had a much larger text for this section and tied in all of the things before it and after it. But as I've been going through Ephesians a lot slower, one thing that's been helpful to me is that I've been able to take more time meditating on a smaller section, and hopefully I'm still being true to God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth and keeping things in the proper perspective and not taking things totally out of context. But there's some phrases that I find in Scripture as I'm reading through them that point to so many other things, and as we combine and interpret Scripture with Scripture, it's remarkable to me that there can be so much in a verse that at first glance doesn't seem to be anything except just a couple of phrases. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible. That's just a statement. It's not a theory. It's a truth. If something gets exposed by the light, and if anyone has any ability to see, that thing that was exposed by the light becomes visible. I got to look out my office window this week at a bird that sat on a wire just outside the window, and he was looking at me and I was looking at him, and I ended up taking about 90 pictures of him. If you'd like to see any of those, be happy to share a few. I think there's two or three good ones out of those. But this was just a barn swallow, and he was gorgeous, and there wasn't that much sunlight. It was an overcast day, like we often have in springtime in the Northwest. And yet I could see vibrant, beautiful colors. And it didn't seem to matter whether he wanted to give me a view of his proud chest or the backside where he was fluffing his feathers and showing off the blue sheen. Every angle there was beauty and there was visibility, because light was exposing what this bird was and what he looked like and how beautiful God had created him. And that was kind of exciting to see. And then the next phrase in this verse, everything that is illuminated becomes a light. And it's a rather odd phrase, and it's like, now wait a minute, you know, this bird was illuminated. Was he actually a light? Well, in a sense he was, because the only way I could see that bird was whatever light was reflecting off of him. And I could see size and shape and depth and color and life and vibrancy all because the light was shining. And as we've looked at this passage of Scripture, and as I meditate on this passage of Scripture, I realize and recognize that, that the best we can hope for is that we are maybe a moon. That the moon shines because its surface reflects light from the sun. And the moon reflects only like 3 to 12% of the sunlight that hits it. If you think about certain times of the year, certain seasons, the moon looks brighter. Well, some of that is because the angles that it's reflecting are going to demonstrate to us a brighter light, because more light's being directly reflected back to us and not diffused off into space where we can't see it. And so what we get from moon reflection is only about 3 to 12% of the sunlight that hits the moon, and yet it can look very, very bright. And I started realizing and thinking that if we could even just demonstrate 3 to 12% of the goodness of God as He shines His light on us, and we reflect and illuminate that light into the world, it would be a bright, beautiful testimony and example of who God is. And I hope that that's what we can eventually come to do, is learn to be better reflectors. I start thinking about reflective clothing, like on bicycles or automobiles have reflectors. Clothing has reflection sometimes, and if it doesn't, then it's maybe a little bit more dangerous. I was walking on Highway 2 one night after a fire drill at the ballpark, and Mike Genez was concerned. He was the safety officer, and I just had black clothing on, and it was starting to get dark, and he didn't feel like I was being very safe, so he brought me over a jacket the next day with some extremely reflective lettering on it, Skycomish Fire, and it just was an example of his love to the community and to safety. But it also is an example of, if we have the right level of reflectivity in us or on us, people are going to be able to see us from a good distance, and we don't want to hide the light of Jesus under a bushel. We'd love for that to be more visible. You certainly want all of the different reflectors on a bicycle, on an automobile, on any kind of vehicle that's on the road. When you're out driving at night, you want those reflectors to work. You also want the center line reflectors to work, and the shoulder reflection to be obvious, so you can stay within the lines and stay safe. And all of those things are ways that we look at the light that comes off of what otherwise would be just kind of a dull and dark object. In the darkness, nothing's visible at all, and yet when the light shines, everything becomes a light. A mirror is another thing that reflects, and mirrors reflect based on what they're facing. Whatever direction the mirror is facing, that's how much light, or that's what image it's going to be able to portray. And if we want to be a light for Jesus, if we want to be reflecting God's goodness and His grace and His mercy, we really need to be facing God. We need to be meditating on, looking on, shining toward God, so that as He shines on us, it can reflect back in a more pronounced and hopefully beautiful way. And we can show Jesus to the world around us, just like the moon can demonstrate the light from the sun. We can demonstrate the light from God, from Jesus Christ Himself. Photographs or digital images are based on the light that they're exposed to. And a image is going to come out differently depending on the amount of light, the quality of light, the location of the light. It's going to shift with shadows are going to show differently. Highlights will come out just from changing the light a little bit. So if you're trying to set up a still life for a painting or even for a photograph, you're going to want to adjust the light so that it makes that image look just the way you'd like it to look. And as we allow Holy Spirit to shine light on us, we can show a pure, proper image. Another just another statement I have is, without light, there is no sight. And if we are trying to hide in the darkness, we're not going to be able to reflect or show anything to the world around us. Without light, there is no sight. What we see is a reflection of light from objects showing size, color, distance, movement, all those different ways that we have sight. It's based on the light. And in the darkness, we can imagine and we can think that there's something in front of us. The power went off for a few minutes this morning while I was in the shower, and getting out of the shower in the dark wasn't that big a deal, because I know the dimensions of the bathroom in my head, and I could kind of see with my mind's eye, but I really couldn't see until the power came back on. And we need light in order to have proper sight. In Genesis, God was creating things, and we get the whole concept of everything he created. Well, verses 14 to 18 says, "And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and the light, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth to govern the day and the night and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good." Now, it's interesting that God says there's two great lights. The greater one, obviously the sun, to govern the day. And then the lesser light to govern the night. And that lesser light is the moon. And there's absolutely no way that the moon is actually putting off light. What the moon is doing is reflecting the light of the sun. And so when we think about who we are in God and who God is, if we get those two concepts down, life goes a lot better. If I know that I'm not God, but God is God. And so any goodness that's coming out of me, every good and perfect gift comes from God above. So if I'm shining light, if I'm waxing eloquent and sharing wisdom and having the proper word at the right time spoken, it's only because God can shine that light onto me and I can reflect it. So we're the lesser light as the moon, and we just can recognize that the true light is the one that gives all light. Even, you know, when Jesus was here on earth, he did identify himself as the light. Later in that same chapter, Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You recognize here that we are to bear the image of God. We're to show the likeness of God. And you know, like the moon can show the brightness, the light of the sun, we can be image bearers of our Creator. And he didn't say that about any other part of creation. He didn't say, "I'm going to make a tree in my image," or "I'm going to make a cow in my image." It was, you know, mankind, male and female, in the image of God. And so as we look at what's going on in the world today, where people are trying to determine, you know, which lives matter, and do you know, it's important for us as a church, as a body of followers of the way, of followers of Jesus Christ, to recognize that every individual that God has created, which is all individuals, humans were made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. And so as we look at people, we can't say, "Well, this person is pretty and this one's not." And this, you know, we come up with all this stuff about our own perceptions about what we think should be and what shouldn't be. And reality is, unity can come to this world if all of us recognize that God is God and that we are image bearers of God. And then we're going to be more careful not to disparage or put down or harm in any way those other image bearers that God has created. Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. The psalmist is recognizing that God is the creator and God makes beautiful creations, and we as humans are part of that beautiful creation, and we can say, yes, I praise you. I know full well that your works are wonderful. Ephesians 4, 22 and 20 to 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, and get this next part, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Part of being image bearers of God, part of being light shiners of God, part of being the moon of that greater light, Jesus Christ, is that we are to be like God, bear an image, a likeness of God, and that would include true righteousness and holiness. And I think too often we find ways where we have the old self put on. We're covering that image that God has given us in creation, and we're blotching it and blotting it and making it just kind of gross and ugly at times with our attitudes and with our heart's desires and with the way that we are bent. And yet God wants to help us and enable us to put off that old self and to change the attitude, the spirit of our minds, and to put on the new self, be truly the creation that we were intended to be, created to be true righteousness and holiness, created to be like God. In Colossians, Paul reminds the church at Colossae, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And I think as we continue to follow Christ and become closer to him, we are recognizing that we were created to be true image bearers of God. And we can be renewed in knowledge in the image of our creator as we put off the old self and those old practices and put on the new, changing our hearts, changing our attitudes. Today's text, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. Father God, as we close out in prayer, I just ask, Lord Jesus, that we can truly be illuminated by your true light and become image bearers and lights of your goodness, your righteousness, your holiness, your glory, your patience, your kindness, all Holy Spirit fruit that is to shine out of us. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we truly, as a body, all of us all can be the image of our Creator. Amen.